reason I say that, a lot of preachers get all the notoriety, but I've heard some of the best preaching in this world, in this conference. I'll never forget the first one. I got a blessing from it. Brother Jones and Brother Hilly preached. And I think you said it the other night, but most of the men came forward were preachers. God's speaking to us today, and we need to listen.
Amen.
And I believe He's talking to America, but America's not listening. But that's not my subject. There's been a lot of good preaching here, and a lot of what I hope I can preach has been said. I think back over the years, you're under shepherd. I've been blessed as well by not only these messages and the fellowship, but the love that you have for your pastor and his wife.
Amen.
God has blessed this church because of that. And you followed him because he followed the Lord and his word. And God bless his obedience. Some people say, I don't want to obey the Lord, but we're supposed to obey God and his word.
Amen.
And I was thinking, sitting there next to Brother Hancock, you know, God bless Brother Titus, not only because he listened to the Lord, he gave the glory for what was done. To the Lord.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done.
Amen.
Well, it's my turn. You pray for me. I'm thankful to be here with you today and to have this great privilege. I remember one time Brother Titus and Brother Brooks and I were traveling all night long to get down to Clarksville for a seminar. And Brother Titus wanted to drive first. And we were trying to sit back in the seat and close our eyes and everything else, and he kept preaching at us. Brother Brooks will remember this. About the middle of, after the midnight hour, he said, I'm tired. I'll pull over, and you all drive now. I'm going to get some sleep. Well, that wasn't a funny thing. We went on down into, got down into Nashville. And that was back in the days when we would travel, we'd have a CB radio. And I had driven for a while, and I was tired. Brother Brooks was driving. It was just becoming daylight, and we got down into Nashville. And we didn't know where we were. We thought, man, we took the wrong road over here. I know now where we would have turned off to go. And so I said, Breaker 19 or whatever it was. And the guy said to us, we asked him how to get to Clarksville from there. And the guy said, well, he said, where's your map? And I said, he's asleep in the back seat. But he told us where to turn and how to get there. And I hope today in this thought, I want to invite your attention to a few places in your Bible. Read a couple of verses. The Lord has burdened my heart in the day that we live about accountable living in an irresponsible age. We live in a time when what the Bible said doesn't mean much to many Baptists anymore. But I'm still thankful that we can gather together and sit at the feet of some men who really believe what the Word of God has to say. And God speaking to us directly. Brother Troy, I used to think on Sunday morning Brother Clark got his messages from Nancy. Because he would get up one side of me and down on the other. But I'm thankful now that I heard those things. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12, and in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, so then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That means every one of us folks this morning, not only preachers, but church members as well. Not just the preacher and his wife or our wives, with us, but also we'll all stand before the Lord to give an account of our lives. And look with me over in Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 21. Now, if you get there sooner, just hold on. I'm heading that direction. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and paraphrasing what he told us over there in 1 Corinthians, he said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." No greater thing could happen to us, as Brother Hancock was saying. I don't know about you folks, but man, I got goosebumps just thinking about that. Sometimes we get tired, but I'm thankful one day, brother, we're going to get a new body. And praise God today. That's what we're going to have by the grace of God. Not only did He save us by washing us in His blood, but one day He's going to take us on up to meet Him in the air.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to it today. And so as I consider this today and look at this and consider whatever our lives are tonight or today, it ought to be important to us about our lives being patterned after the life of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we read in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, we'll see some things there if time will permit. I've got to quit in about 20 minutes, I guess, or 25, but Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life." He said, "I am the resurrection and life." He said, "He that hath the Son hath life." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father," He said, "but by me." So if any man, woman, boy, or girl has trusted in Jesus Christ, they really have true life today. They have real life today. And the message is that with this new birth comes accountable living. We have a responsibility. If we're concerned today about those that are precious to us in this life, about their eternal destiny, all they know about our Savior, beloved, today may be all that they see in us. If you have a neighbor that sees you carrying this precious book with you every Sunday and every Wednesday and every now and then for several days in a row to a revival meeting at your church, it's proof that what you say is special and it means something to you in your heart and in your life. Thanks be to God. Great things He hath done. I believe this morning with all my heart the belief or the business of a life for the child of God, my friend, is to live righteously, responsibly, if you will, and reasonably. But most of the people in our age today, in the day that you and I live, know everything about life except to how to really live it. We know all, we claim to know all there is to know about life. Our media tells us this and everything else. But you don't learn about the true meaning of life in the newspaper or from a commentator in a newscast. You learn about it by looking in the Word of God.
Amen.
So it's not enough for me this morning to know about life. I believe today we need to know how to live life. And God's Word tells us this. But unprincipled and unrestrained, if you will, restless and reckless living are characteristic of our times today. In my lifetime, in the last 20 or 30 years, it has been said, if it feels good, go ahead and do it. There's nothing wrong with it. And the reason of this is not hard to find. Many saints have been taught, though, by faithful pastors that have been surrendered to the Word and the will of God in their lives and in their ministry. And yet church members today in Baptist churches believe it less and less. God help us. God help us. We're suffering in our lifetimes, beloved, by going to the wrong places for our help. We want a psychiatrist to tell us what's troubling us in our lives. And we want the teacher to tell us what's wrong with our children. when we should be going to God's Word and to the God of the Word for help in time of need. Today, many still have pockets, even in this economy, many still have pockets that are full and cupboards that are full. But many true Baptist churches today are half empty. When what we really need is, thus saith the Lord. Our society today has more vice, it has more violence, if you will, more vileness and less virtue.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you what, these brethren hit the nail on the head. Live for God, and God will bless you.
Amen.
But what we've done is we've seen this big allurement from Hollywood and these big actors by all kinds of fancy names and stars, they call them, and everything else, trying to tell us how to live. You know what? Today the Bible said, obey them that have the rule over you. And if you listen to what God said, you'll pray for your pastor. But in addition to that, the Bible teaches us in Romans, and I forgot what other book now in the New Testament, to pray for the leaders of our land and country.
Yeah.
That God would guide them. I'm thankful that we have a president that's not ashamed to say, I call on God every day when I get my day started.
Amen.
You know, and thank Him for giving us a night's rest, but thank Him for giving us the opportunity to begin another day. I'm thankful for that today. Homes are broken up today by people whose only standard of right is what, and I've said this, I know, but what gives them pleasure. America today, our world today is morally bankrupt and powerless to offer any aid to a world that's falling apart. The world doesn't need money. They need something spiritual today. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear about Him and trust Him. But our society ignores God on every hand, and I believe today with all my heart that judgment is coming to this powerless, pleasure-mad, irresponsible generation that we live in.
Amen.
Christians today, beloved, in general, love the rewards of life, but they don't want the responsibilities.
That's right.
Yet the Lord Jesus Christ told us along the way it's going to cost us something to serve God. He said, marvel not that the world hateth you, for it hated me before it hated you. But would you trade your salvation and your Savior for anything that the world could offer you or give you today? Absolutely not. What is responsible living then in an irresponsible age? I just have two or three points I want to share with you this morning. Turn with me in 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please. You know what's wonderful about being at a conference? And I believe this with all my heart. Is when God's men have a message to preach from God, there's a pattern that goes through the whole conference. Something happens, and it began here the other night, Tuesday night, and what I've been privileged to be here for and to hear, it's been right down the line. And God's been present, and there's been a blessing. I hope I don't mess that up. But responsible living is positional living. Look in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did he say to them over there? What can we glean from that just to understand they were in the right position? They look at what he said here in verse 1, that first part of it. He said he was writing to the church at Thessalonica, or the church of the Thessalonians. But that church is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're in the right position.
Amen.
There are those today, those churches were started by man. We can talk about Luther and Wesley and all these others. But Jesus organized the church when he was here the first time.
Amen.
And he's coming back for the faithful ones in that church or churches the second time and take them, and they're going to make up his bride.
Amen.
And it pays to be faithful and true to Jesus Christ. It pays to be faithful to God.
Amen.
So to understand our responsibility in the world today, we need to We need to look at it from the position of these church members, these Baptist church members in Thessalonica. And so the saints in the church at Thessalonica, as I said, were in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was this truth that established them in the days of depression and persecution. God kept them going. Let me just share with you two verses in the second book of Thessalonians in verses 14 and 15. Listen to what he said. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. I believe today with all my heart, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. If we know the Bible tells us something today, beloved, and we're not obeying it or we're not following it, we're in trouble. We have a responsibility to follow what the Word of God has to say to us. You say, I want freedom. I'll tell you what, God gave you freedom when he saved you by his grace and put you in a true Baptist church and gave you the leadership of his Holy Spirit that you may understand what he would have you do in your life. And you know what? That's real freedom.
Amen.
That's real freedom today. And so in 1 John or John 14:20, you don't need to turn there. Jesus made a statement. Listen to what he said. He said over there, I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Paul wrote to the church of Colossae in chapter 3, in verse 3, he said, your life is hid with Christ in God. And I believe here's a great principle in life today. It speaks of the potential of Christian living. And namely that the believer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I recognize that this is by his grace and his mercy extended toward us, that the Bible said he loved us when we were unlovable. And yet he purposed from before the foundation of the world to come down to this earth to suffer and to bleed and to die on the tree of the cross for our sins and pay our sin debt. What little have we done for him? And really today, beloved, in our Christianity today or in Baptist churches today, many today say, look what we're doing for the Lord. I'd rather say, look what the Lord is doing for us.
Yeah. Amen.
He's doing some great things for us today, and we can praise him. I tell you what, brethren, we've got a lot to be thankful for today.
Amen.
And at any moment, Brother Hancock's message stirred my heart the other night. Any moment he could call us up.
Amen.
Oh, me. Even so, come Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So as we see it, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And people are to see Christ in our lives oftentimes by the way that we live. And one of the ways to live responsibly after we've been saved is, of course, this we preach and we teach. But you know what? We don't see many saved anymore. I'd like to see more folks saved, wouldn't you?
Amen.
But once they're saved, they're to make an outward profession of faith in Christ and ask for scriptural baptism to unite with the church. Now today, the sad part about it is there are many places where they don't have authority to baptize because they didn't have authority to begin.
Right, amen.
To be a church today, you've got to have authority from a mother church.
Amen, brother. That is right.
And people, I called a pastor one time because the lady and her daughters wanted to join our church. And I said, well, where did you get your authority? I had the same name as our church, Covenant Baptist Church, only over in the next town. I said, where'd you get your authority? He got real quiet. He didn't want to tell me. You know why? Because he didn't have authority. I said, I don't know what you're upset with me about. I said, I'll tell you where we got our authority. I said, we got our authority from Grace Baptist Church in Warren, Michigan. We have a mother church. And you follow in the book of Acts, every time a local New Testament church was organized, it had authority, and the work came from the authority of the local church.
Amen.
When Paul and Silas went out, they had authority, and they had been ordained. They laid their hands on them and
Amen.
Sent them out.
Amen.
But see, that's what's wrong today. this thing about, well, you've got some organized people here or baptized people, you can call yourselves a church. You don't have any authority to call yourself a church unless you have a mother church. You say, boy, you're getting personal. I'm not trying to get personal. I'm just telling you what's on my heart.
Amen.
And that's what's troubling me today. Well, then, Paul said, for me to live in is Christ, and we're to serve Him acceptably. I wish to God today, when I said our churches are half empty, that we would tell our people more and more about the responsibility in being in the house of God. Years ago, I preached a trial sermon in the first church that I pastored. And for the first year and a quarter or so, the man that was the former pastor remained in the church. He was going to go to Texas for his job, as I recall. But you know what today, beloved? A mother came to him that night I was there, it was that night. I was there the whole day, Sunday. And my wife and children were there. And she came up to him and said, my son's are going to have to leave. We're going to a Cub Scout dinner tonight. He patted the kids on the head and said, that's all right, you go right ahead. I got home that night and I told Nancy, I said, he did not have the authority to tell them to miss church.
Right.
Didn't have the authority. Our responsibility, first and foremost, is to the Lord. He taught us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The world today seems to think Little League Baseball or Cub Scouts or something like that, we can leave an example in those organizations. Not if it interferes with our serving the Lord. So this responsible living is blessed, though. One of the things I want you to think about today, it's blessed with acceptance. You know. And one of the brethren hit the nail right on the head. I'm trying to remember now who said it. But he made us accepted in the Beloved. And this idea of money, Baptists today using this thought and this kind of theology, all you have to do to be saved is to accept the Lord. We don't need to accept Him. It's whether or not He's accepted us.
Right.
He'll give you the gift of faith to receive Him as your own personal Savior.
Amen.
This thing of eternal justification. Some brethren believe today that you've always been saved and you just came to know about it in time. Well, tell me why the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Huh? If we're to receive Him by repentance and faith, then we weren't saved until we repented and believed in our hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But in Ephesians 6, thank God, he says we're accepted in the Beloved. Paul writes in Galatians 3:26, he says, God accepteth no man's person. If there hasn't been a work of grace in our lives, in our hearts, my friend, we're not going to get there. We need to trust Jesus Christ. All right, now there's something else about that. Put your finger here with me, and I hope you're back at 1 Thessalonians. But look over at a verse in John 10:28 just for a moment. John 10:28. And there's something else that I have today and that you have today. I'm going to begin reading in verse 27, if I may. He said, well, they're my sheep. Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
And he said, here's the assurance, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I believe we're eternally secure because the Word of God tells us this, because He's given us the assurance of it here in the Word of God. He tells us time and again in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That you might know that you have. Friend, today eternity is for a long time. If you don't have the assurance of being saved, you better trust the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have that assurance. So as I look at it today, to be in Christ is not only to have acceptance, which can never be reversed, but it's also to have assurance, which can never be revoked. And we can have that today by the kind of salvation that the Word of God talks about. All Christians today, or all the saints of God, are in Christ from a practical standard. All Christians are not living positionally, not hearing what God has to say. There can be life without health. There can be movement without any progress. And we may serve but never succeed. We may never do what God wants us to do. The way to know what God wants us to do and the way we find our message today is found in the pages of God's Word.
Amen.
We need to hear what God has to say on the subject. We need to hear what God has to say on the issue. We can turn around today. We can try but never triumph. The difference all along the way, as I look at it today, is the successful life, the abundant life that Jesus promised to us, comes to us by abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. By setting down roots in a true New Testament Baptist church, because that's where He gets His glory. The Bible said, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
His kind of church, not something someone else started, if you will. The true believer has life by virtue and regeneration power of the Holy Spirit in his or her heart and life. But it is today painfully apparent that for the most part the average saint knows little or nothing about positional living. Therefore, they know little or nothing about true life today. But then, before, I've still got a few minutes. Let's go back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me just share this with you. Brother Titus kept saying we're right on time, so I'm trying to watch that. I don't want to spend too much of the time for everybody else to preach. But look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Because then, secondly, this morning, beloved, we see that responsible living is patterned living. What's the pattern? Brother Adams hit the nail on the head. But I thought if that was my Bible up here and he beat on it like that, it'd probably fall apart. But I appreciate that message, brother. I may kid you a little bit, but I love you in the Lord, and I want you to know that. I think you know that. And I appreciate what you preached. I got a great blessing from it. In fact, from all these messages. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, He said, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now that's a pattern right there. And the saints in the church at Thessalonica had patterned their lives after two people that had an impression on them. One was the Apostle Paul. If you looked in that verse, in verse 6, we see that. But then in addition to it, the other one they patterned their lives after was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was of utmost importance. But then again, I'm sure today that anybody that's here, saved by the grace of God today, you have a special place in your heart for that pastor or Sunday school teacher or whoever it was that led you to the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ. That meant something to you. My pastor, I still call him my pastor, you know. It meant something to me. He had a way, if I might just deviate for a moment, I'll come right back to this. He had a way, if I said something and I said wrong or didn't do right, he'd look at me, William. And whenever I knew he used that name, William, I just, okay, brother, what did I do? But you know what? He did it because he loved me. And I love him. And that's what's important. We understand what God intends for us. He gave us people like that. You brethren that are my friends in the Lord, He gave us to one another. And the common bond is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. You know. And here in that sixth verse, he said, and here's the pattern of the apostle of the Lord. He said, ye became followers of us and of the Lord.
Amen.
These were the two patterns. He had the pattern of the apostle, but he had the pattern of the Lord. And Paul's life was a pattern to the people. May God help us that we'll always have set the right example and be a pattern to the people we have the responsibility to pastor and to look after spiritually in our churches. There are those people who are anxious to form their lives today after the worst examples, and they adopt their habits in places of the unsaved. They come to our young people. They'll say to young people, why don't you just come with us and have a good time? There's a lot of pressure on kids today in school, you see, to go out and be with the crowd, if you will. But the Lord Jesus Christ has been a pattern for the believer. The man of God has been a pattern for the believer. And we're to lead them, and may the Spirit of God, excuse me, instill in their hearts a desire and a passion to follow the example of the Word of God and the man of the Word of God. So why wouldn't we pattern our lives, though, after the one who loved us enough to die for us? We ought to follow the Lord Jesus. I can say this, and I as I stand here this morning, I've been with many of you on the road, and as I might kid a little bit and everything else. I like to tease, and I like to be teased. But I'll tell you what, when you travel, these preachers, they get down to business, and they get serious, and that's the way it ought to be. We can laugh and have a little fun, but I tell you something else, when it comes down to getting down to business, they get down to business, and that's important. And may that always be seen in our lives. So every person that we come in contact with, regardless, if you will, how remotely we're in contact with them, adds something to our lives. I can travel with Brother Titus or Brother Jones or Brother Brooks or somebody else that's here today, and you know, we'll have an impression when we're done traveling, you know. And it can be a blessing to us. But not only did this church pattern their lives after the apostle, but as I said a moment ago, they patterned their lives after the Lord. Peter writes over there in 1 Peter, he said that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps.
Amen.
There's our pattern today. There's our example today. My wife tries to help me with my eating, and she wants me to follow her pattern. But when it comes down to something spiritual, I need to follow the pattern of the Lord.
Amen.
And God's men need to do that.
Yes.
All right. I guess I should close in a minute, but let me close with this today. The pattern of a child of God or the accountable living is to have a principled life. Have some principles. Whatever the Bible has to say, if we want to... Maybe you didn't need this today, but I'll be honest with you. I need this. I need to be reminded.
Yes.
And I want to be reminded by the Lord and through His Word.
Amen.
And there ought to be some principles in our lives today. And He talks about that in that ninth verse in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. May it be said of us. Because maybe before there'll ever be another conference at Home Baptist Church next year, the Lord may take some of us out, or He may come back and call us all up to meet Him in the air.
Amen.
I leave you today with one of our members that we buried about 3 years ago, Brother Chuck Dodd. Old Brother Dodd used to call me about once a week, and he'd always begin, he'd say, "And how's Brother Bill today?" And then he'd always end with this thought. He said, "If I don't see you anymore down here, I'll meet you in the air."